Coach Tony here again, fighting for overtime, a brand new episode getting ready to air. And before we even get into that, I just want to send a specific thank you for everybody that's listened, everybody that's given me their comments, their suggestions, everybody that shared the episode, giving me more stories, everybody who has referred me to other people to share their stories as well. In only 1 week's time, it has been phenomenal. And it's just going to continue to grow. So make sure you give us a follow at Fighting for Overtime on Instagram. There will be at Fighting for Overtime on Facebook as well. Building that as we speak. There's an upcoming newsletter that's going to document not only the episodes, but obviously some other stories and some quotes and things of that nature. And most importantly, make sure you follow on all your podcast platforms, whether it's Podbean. If you can go to Podbean and you can give me a rating, that would be greatly appreciated, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, wherever you actually listen to your podcast. Now let's get to episode two. We're going to name this Parental Pressure, because again, on Fighting for Overtime, we bring about the battles. We bring up the scenarios where not just the athlete, but the parent of the athlete, the family of the athlete deals with some very hard decisions and struggles with them. And obviously, we all know that affects our mental health, whether it be good or bad, because we continue to fight. That's why, like I said, Fighting for Overtime, you're fighting beyond the field, right? You're consistently fighting. And did you ever make that decision as a parent early in the youth sports journey that maybe you still regret today? If so, what were the parameters around this decision? These are the questions I was asking myself. And why do you regret it? If you regret it at all, would you go back? Would you change it if you could? This is a huge topic. And I say this all the time because a lot of people deal with it, but the whole parameter around letting kids decide what sports they want to play and at what age you actually have to make that decision is so important. And I remember a lot of people listening. If you're a kid, you have no idea, right? But if you're a middle-aged man or woman and you grew up, whether it be in the inner city, maybe even in the suburbs, you'll recall that sports were never an all-year-round activity. I know myself, I hop, right? I played my basketball. Then I got done basketball, I went to baseball. When I was done baseball, I went to soccer. So I never had to make that decision and say I only want to play one sport. I was able to play multiple sports. Now, today, the lucky situation that a lot of the kids have is they can play for like CYO when they're younger. Maybe they can play intramural, right? They do have some options, or I should say they did have some options. Unfortunately, nowadays, I feel like all those options are non-existent. But the reason why I bring this topic up is because, like I tell everybody all the time, these are real heartfelt stories from me, stuff that I've dealt with. Now, just so you know, every episode is not just going to be about me, okay, and my daughter or my son or one of my other sons or one of the kids I coach. It's going to be outside sources, other families, other children, other athletes. I have a whole list of things that I plan to do on this program and this podcast, but it's getting these tests because I think it's important, because if you hear my stories and you can understand and you can relate to what I'm saying, then we can have that connection and you can understand what direction I'm going to put this program into. Now, on episode one, I talked about the unfortunate decision that was made for me, right? My daughter wanted to play with her friend and unfortunately she couldn't. And it wasn't because she wasn't given the opportunity. It's just, honestly, she wasn't good enough at that time for that specific person, but it just kind of spiraled out of control from there, right? She wasn't at that level, which is fine, but the way that the entire situation played out is what really affected her emotionally. Now, this one affects me emotionally, and I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to go back 11, 12 years, and it still affects me to today because I deeply regret it. I'm going to be honest with you. I deeply regret this decision. Now, the crazy thing about this is I'm actually saying this for the first time. This is a pure confession. So I know my daughter follows this program, so she's probably going to listen to this. My wife follows this program. She's probably going to listen to this. And I've never told them this, but this is something I fully regret. Now, when we moved up here, just like I said in the first episode on Fighting for Overtime, I talked about how I wasn't used to the way you had to go about signing up for your sports. Well, moving up here, the number one activity, the number one sport, and I call it a sport because I didn't call it a sport back then, but I really did after I seen how much work went into it, was cheerleading for my daughter. So she was a cheerleader and she was a damn good cheerleader. And she really busted her ass every chance she got doing those back handsprings, consistently training at Airborne, a gymnastics company, right? Constantly going there to get the back handsprings, to get the tumbles, everything that you need to do as a cheerleader, she consistently worked on. When we lived in the city, she cheered for Calvary AA and they did a fantastic job. I would go to the Sharon Sweeney skating tournaments. I would go to the Tarsdale Boys Club tournaments. I would go to the ones at Lincoln High School, and it was a fantastic time. I enjoyed it a lot. And number one, because I could tell my daughter enjoyed it a lot, and she was very good at it. And she continued to excel. When she got to middle school, she was team captain for Klinger, which she really enjoyed. She really bought into that. She was very, very happy. Now, let's be honest, right? You know, when you get into middle school, there's a lot of different emotions that come into play. And, you know, this was technically only her second year in the schooling system up in our township because of, you know, when we moved from the city. So there was a lot of things going on, right? Just nothing crazy, just a normal teenage girl, just the way things play out. So she did very, very well. She cheered for Klinger. She cheered for Southampton Knights. And there were some issues that, you know, we'll get into those stories later. But all said and done, she had two loves. And it was, she loved cheerleading, but she also learned how to play softball. And she was loving that as well. So here's the story of, you know, when do you make that decision? And it really sucks. I'm telling you that right now. Like, if you're a parent out there and you have a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old and he's doing multiple different sports, and eventually it comes a point in time where you unfortunately have to choose, because it is very, very tough to play multiple sports once you get out of middle school. It's extremely tough. I'm being honest. It's very, very, very tough. So usually, you know, 7th, 8th grade is where you have to actually start looking at those decisions. Now, depending on what kind of level you play, depending on what kind of team ball you play on, maybe it's possible. But sometimes we have to think more of not just from a time commitment, what about a physicality commitment, right? Eventually, do we want to burn out our kids by doing so much and so many different things? Because you have to remember, you know, everything not only is a year-round sport, but it's a year-round training, right? Training your body and training your mind in order to be that prototypical athlete, depending on whatever sport you're going to play. So at that time, I started to see some sparks. And when I would watch my daughter play, I was like, wow, she's very raw, which I knew, okay? Because again, remember, she didn't start playing softball until she was 9 years old, okay? It wasn't like she just started playing. Like, some of these kids were playing at 5 years. She just started playing at 9. There was no T-ball. There was no nothing for her. It was just a boom, softball, right? So she was raw. But because she hit her growth spurt early in time, she was strong. She had a very strong arm. So, but it was very, very raw. And if she's listening to this right now, she's probably laughing, because it was like, okay, hey, Taylor, you're playing third base. It's either going to go to the first baseman or it's going to wind up in the Klinger parking lot. We had no idea at any time where that ball was going to go. But she worked on it and she trained and, you know, she did everything she had to do to get to where she was a prototypical third baseman. She got to everywhere she could be that utility outfielder. And then she started to develop catching skills, and she really enjoyed it. She's a very tough kid, right? Not many girls want to go up against her anywhere. And I say this wholeheartedly all the time. I tell all my buddies, and I still tell them this right now at this age, if it's 2 a.m. and I'm in a barroom brawl, I am not calling a friend. I'm not calling a police. I'm calling my daughter, because she's going to kick somebody's ass. Okay. So I saw that. I saw that in her, and I knew there was a decision that was going to have to be made. Now, at that time, hear me out on this, and I'm not going to go into detail on this one because this isn't my story, okay? But if certain people want to tell that story, give me permission to tell the story, I 100% will. But there was a lot of issues when it came to the cheerleading scene. A lot of issues. And all I will say is, I will tell this story. And again, this is true tales. So when me and my wife were dating, and she was... Listen, she cheered for Archbishop Ryan. And when we were dating, she put in to be a coach. And she was a coach. And she was doing a hell of a job. And then she got pregnant. And the first thing that happened was they told her she was going to be a bad influence on the kids. So they basically booted her off the coaching squad, right? And she was devastated, because it's something she really loved. She did for her whole career. And she was so damn good at it. And it was great to see her out there being able to give back to the kids. And now she couldn't do it, right? She couldn't do it. Already living with the fact that, okay, life is going to change, right? At 17, 18 years old. And now you have to deal with this. That the one thing that you absolutely love and the one thing that makes you feel like you're doing something good is taken away. It's ripped away from you, right? So she already had that unfortunate emotional roller coaster from that perspective. And then we move up into Southampton, and she starts to cheer for Southampton Knights because that's all we know, right? We go Southampton Knights. Now, I'm not going to say any names. Actually, I'll just tell a whole story. I'm not going to get any names, okay? But cheerleading became the same thing as all the other sports I dealt with. A popularity contest, politics. Everything was who you know and who you don't know. If you're on the in crowd, you're good to go. If you're on the outcast, forget about it. Unless your kid's an absolute superstar, nobody knows and nobody cares for what your name is. Now, at that time, they were going through a huge transition period. And my daughter was actually very good. Listen, you're never going to hear me say my daughter was the best. I will never, ever. And not that I don't love her and not that I don't have faith in her. It's just not how I roll. Okay. I am very modest. Okay. Because guess what? I don't care how good your kid is. I don't care how good an athlete is on my squad. There's always going to be somebody better. You will never be the best ever, right? You're going to be great. But how are you always going to say you're the best? Because there's always somebody else that's going to be one notch above. And that's what keeps you really true to yourself, because now you're going to strive to always be the best. So it's not a bad thing. That's just the way I think. Everybody thinks differently. That's the way I think. So my daughter being very good and very seasoned, and my wife being very seasoned with the coaching background, the first thing is, oh, who's going to take over? You know, who's going to be the coach? Who's going to be assistant coach? Who's going to be this? Who's going to be that? And now remember, my wife's not a huge party person. My wife's very unknown because we just move up here. But she's told on no uncertain circumstances that based on her background and she went to a few board meetings that she was going to be the coach. So now she's excited. She's extremely excited. My daughter's excited. She's excited. And then unfortunately, because of circumstances that have to do with politics and popularity, because she didn't like to have a Miller Lite in her hand all the time. Unfortunately, guess who was out? That's right. The coach who was supposed to be the coach no longer was. And it was somebody that was brought in by somebody else because they like to smash Miller Lights together on a weekend. Simple as that. That's what happened, right? And again, listen, it is what it is, right? It happened. And again, these stories that I tell you, I will swear in a book of Bibles that they are absolutely true. And that's what happened. And that's how it happened. And it sucked. It was terrible. Okay. My wife got sent on an emotional roller coaster. My daughter got sent on an emotional roller coaster. She thought for once, you have to remember this. You know, if you're growing up and all you hear is about how good of a cheerleader your mom is, and you're growing up with your mom talking about cheerleading, and you finally get to the fact that, man, I'm going to get to be able to have my mom as my coach. You know, you see how good your mom is and how, you know, in depth she is. And you understood also the adversity your mom faced when she was pregnant with you 7-8 years ago, and you wanted this for her. And then all of a sudden it gets thrown in your face. And then you have to watch the devastation that unfolds. And you talk about a mental health crisis. That's one right there, caused by politics and pressure. So then here comes the decision. I already have a bad taste in my mouth. I already am extremely pissed off, and I probably let it get to me more than it should have. But now I have to make a decision. So now we're coming to the fact that we're approaching 8th to 9th grade, technically 9th, where, you know, and again, all you hear about is high school softball. And again, this is before I knew anything about this crazy roller coaster we were about to ensue on in 9th grade softball. This is 8th grade. Now I got to make a decision, and it's, do I want to go full blown cheerleading? Do I want to go full blown softball? And the decision that I probably regret the most is, being 100% transparent here, not really letting my daughter make that decision on her own. Did I force her to choose softball over cheerleading? No. Did I influence her to do it? Absolutely. And I hate it. And I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing the right thing because you have to remember, you know, I saw all the toxicity that was coming from the cheerleading department, you know, and I was trying to foresee what was going to happen in the next 3 to 4 years. And I was saying, you know what? Again, this, and these are the questions. These are the situations, the parental pressure that I'm talking about in this episode that you deal with, because now as a parent, you think about, what the hell do I do? What do I do? Is this going to be a decision that affects my daughter for the next 4 to 5 years? If they didn't pick my mom to be the head coach because she wasn't a Miller Lite brewer, well, are they going to not pick me because I don't go over the youth center? smoke up and get drunk? I mean, like, honestly, like, so now I have to think about that. Like, I have to think about, well, wait a minute, I don't let my daughter do this. I don't let my daughter do this. So now all of a sudden, you know, I'm creating her to be an outcast. And if she's going to be an outcast, does that mean she's never going to get that spot on a cheer team? Does that mean she's never going to get that C on her chest or that A on her chest, or, you know, be in the proper pyramid, or, you know, be the girl who does the routines or the choreography? Or is she always going to be second best? And I'm not, again, not saying that she needs to be the best, but what I mean is she always going to be second best to everybody else? That's a decision I struggled with. It took me out for like a 2 to 3 week period because I wasn't sure what decision I needed to make. Because again, unfortunately, this was beyond athletic ability, right? It was beyond athletic ability. It was now the mental and emotional aspect takes over. And again, think about it. All that did was create animosity at that time between me and my wife. Because my wife was already dealing with all the parameters based on the horrific decision they made not to allow her to be a coach. Because, like I said, she wasn't a party goer on the weekends with the whole crew. And instead, now the one sport that she loves, that she knows her daughter is really good at, I'm the one saying, I think she should give it up and she should go full bore softball. So now what do you think is happening right there? We're battling. So anybody listening to this program, whether you're married, separated, divorced, you know, you've been there. I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have been there. It may not be sport against sport, but could be team against team, coach against coach, organization against organization, where maybe you want one thing, you know, your husband wants another thing, or your wife wants another thing, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, whoever it may be, maybe they want something different. And again, this is where I talk about that parental pressure. So it's a huge obstacle, something that is going to take some time for you to decide and to get through. And once we sat down and we went back and forth, I mean, look, it was basically like, I told you this in the first episode, man. You know, I wanted to be the guy to never disappoint my daughter. That's who I wanted to be. That's who I grew up to be. One person I wanted her to say, with one guy, right? One guy who I knew would never disappoint me is going to be my dad. So that's a lot of pressure I put on myself at that point. Because the first thing I thought about, even though she was a great cheerleader, was the emotional parameters around it, the emotional impacts to say, what if she has to deal with that pressure? What if she has to deal with that? And then she's got to give up everything and regret and start over. And these are decisions we shouldn't have to make, man. These are decisions that suck. We're talking about 12, 13, 8th grade. Like, come on. Why the hell do we have to put ourselves and our kids in these situations with so much pressure? And, you know, where are they going to go? What are they going to do? It's insane. It is. It's insane. But I'm here to tell you that I regret that decision because I picked softball. And I picked it based on, even though I knew she was raw, I knew she would have a better option at being successful based on her abilities and not her popularity. And I don't know if that was right or wrong at that time, but I can tell you right now that I regret it. And I'm going to tell you that now, did things happen? Absolutely. Am I going to get it in the softball stories? Oh my God, I'm going to blow your brains away with it. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're not going to believe the stories I'm going to tell you about softball at William Tennant High School and softball, you know, throughout the entire industry. Trust me when I tell you I will blow your mind. But this right here, the prelude to all those stories, is the fact that I regret the decision because I didn't allow her to make it 100% on her own. Because I know on this day right now, if I would have given her the option 100% and say, I'm riding with you no matter what, she would have picked cheerleading. And you know what? She probably would have kicked ass. And even though I have a ton of memories of my daughter playing on the softball field that I will never forget, that I will take with me to the goddamn grave, okay? That play, listen, the play in center field, I talk about this all the time, the play in center field where I show up, I rush from work, I get to the field, and I watch somebody hit a fly ball, the deep center, she comes in, and not only does she catch it, she dives and catches it, gets up, throws a laser to first, and gets the girl out and tags her for a double play. And you know what was the best part about that? That she was so excited. You know how kids, they usually hug the left fielder, the right fielder, so it's not, no. You know what she did? She dropped her gloves, she ran right off the field, and I was the first person to get that love, man. And I will forever cherish that in my heart. I could still feel it right now. I could still see it till this day. I know what field I was on. I know what she looked like at that time, the way her hair was done, the way she was, what she was wearing. I will never forget that. So even though if I could go back in time, I would change the cheerleading thing because she, it, that would have still happened because this is school ball, right? So that would have still happened. I'm talking about, you know, recreational activity, but that would have still happened. But the regret of not allowing her to say, you know what, Taylor, I know you want to be a cheerleader. I know a lot of that stuff had happened. If I would have been able to just been stronger at that point to say, let me train you to be stronger, drop all that nonsense. Don't worry about all that hearsay. Just go out and do you. She would have kicked ass. She would have been great. But, you know, I didn't. And I do regret it. And the lesson of this story is you are going to be put in this situation. If you have a newborn, if you have a baby, if you have a 3, 4, 5-year-old daughter or son, you're going to be put in a situation at one time because they're going to grow up and they're going to play multiple sports, right? They're going to be playing basketball or soccer. Maybe they don't play any sports at all and they only play one. Maybe don't play any. Then you don't have this decision to make, right? But if they are, if you're listening to this program and you are involved in youth sports, you're going to have that decision to make. So what I recommend is, number one, let them play everything. Let them, if they are an athlete and they want to be involved in multiple things, let them be involved in multiple things. The decision will technically be made for you. However, if it's not made for you from the simple fact that you just want your kid to have fun enjoying the world of sports, then you just let him or her make that decision. However, if you're going into this saying, I see something, I want to give him or her every opportunity to be that top-notch talent, that's fine. Think about how you're going to prepare yourself for that decision. If they're playing soccer and basketball, think about how you're going to prepare yourself early in the game. What if I have to choose? How are we going to choose? Are we going to let him or her make that decision? Are we going to help influence that decision? Because I can honestly tell you, you may not think right now that it is, but this is going to be one of the most important and impactful decisions that you're going to have to make. Because again, not to scare anybody, but like I'm saying, I am witness. I am sitting here right now, 46 years old, 12 years later, saying I deeply regret it. And I still regret it to this day. And I wish I had a program like this, or I wish I had somebody to help me through this process. I wish I had somebody to say, what does it look like? What did you do? How, you know, why do you regret it? And that's what this program is all about. That's what Fighting for Overtime is all about. Trying to help. I am not going to change the past. I'm not going to change the present state of youth sports. But what I will be able to do, what we as a community will be able to do, is help other people prepare themselves and know these decisions are waiting for you. It may not be now. It may not be next year, but it's coming up. So prepare now. Don't get blindsided and make sure you're ready. Because will you 100% be ready at that point? Absolutely not. But I was 0%. Goal of this program, this Fighting for Overtime community, is to get you at least 75% ready. And then you can take the other 25% and take it to the next level. So again, parental pressure. That is this episode. Parental pressure. Letting kids decide what sports they want to play and when and if they have to make a decision to make only one of them full-time. Remember, this is the decision you're going to have to make, but you're not alone. We are here. This is a no judgment zone. Any comments, any stories, I'd love to hear them. I'd love to hear them. You see the posts on Facebook. If you want to throw something in the comments, I greatly appreciate it. If you want to send me a direct message because you want it to be anonymous, I greatly appreciate it. If I can be of any assistance, if you have any questions, let me know. It's what I love to do. I said this before and I say again, when I went through therapy and my therapist said, what do you want to do next? I said, I want to be an advocate. I want to be able to help people get to a point they never thought was possible. I want to be able to help them make decisions and be confident in their decisions based on hearing the real life experiences of what I've dealt with and what people I know have dealt with as well, to help them be prepared for that next level. And that's what we're doing right here as we fight with you in overtime and continue to address the anxiety and achievement in youth sports.